Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter Breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. And Josh, welcome back after a very, very long hiatus here. I was very excited to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. come back. Not that I was not enjoying Agent Carter while that was on its, the 8 weeks that it was on here, but it's good to get back
fun.
To the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it was fun. I just feel like I've been, hidden in a chrysalis for months and months or something, just changing, metamorphosizing.
Oh, very good. That's a very strong word. You've been,
that's a big word.
Yes.
I had months to practice that one, so it's okay.
There's going to be a lot less laughing at us. I mean, with us on this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
I know. I'm sad.
It does. It makes us very sad. So put on your best sad voice and let's read about the episode this week.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about aftershocks. There's often aftershocks when something tragic happens. And that's exactly what happened here. Aftershocks aired on March 3rd, 2015. It was the 11th episode of Season 2. And now we have a nice, long, steep ramp where we just go down through the rest of the season. So it was written by Marissa Tancharoen and Jed Whedon. So they took out their A game for the premiere here. Director was Billy Gearhart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. You said huh. Just checking on that one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Not sure how we arranged to have me read the names on this show, but I'm doing my best. All right. So let me tell you what this one is about, because we've waited for so long to find out what happened. All right. But finally, the good guys are back.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, everyone but Trip.
Oh.
But, yeah. After the shocking and deadly events in the alien temple so long ago, Skye is kept in quarantine until S.H.I.E.L.D. can determine whether anything's really wrong with her or not. They're just not sure at this point. Everyone else just seems to be hanging in there, even Mac is back. But they all seem a little on edge, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Mac loses his temper at Coulson. Fitz is frustrated and nervous. Simmons decided that they should just wipe out anything to do with the alien mysteries. May's just punching things, but she always does that. So,
yeah.
So maybe tricking Bakshi into getting a group of high-level Hydra leaders to kill each other, maybe that'll brighten everybody's day. They got a case of the Mondays. They got to do something. So one thing that won't brighten their day, though, is discovering that Reyna has morphed into something you definitely wouldn't want to buy a sweater for. Skye was right there with her when the obelisk went off, but she just walked away with a case of the shakes. All right, that one might have gone a little too far. Sorry. All right. But, it may turn out that Bobby and Mac have a secret that could put the whole team in danger. I know. All that and more as we return to the aftershocks from that season finale.
Okay, it's like a mid-season finale.
Mid-season finale. Mid-season cliffhanger, we've said. It's hard to... Although this is long enough of a break, I feel like that really was a finale.
It does feel like it was like a part A of the season, and we're doing a part B now or something like that.
Season 2.5.
Yes. 2.5. As you mentioned, we've got a long ramp down to the end of the season, or up to the end of the season, depending on how I guess it's kind of up to the producers here, depending on what they put out for us here. I think this was a strong episode back. But the next, or the remaining 12 episodes, so I guess there's only 11 left after this week's, are going to run now straight through May 19th with no breaks. So if I check my math, which I was pretty sure was correct, it looks like once Avengers Age of Ultron airs on or debuts on May 1st, there will still be three more episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to deal with after that. So here's hoping for some tie-in there.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And
Do you think they would tie it in like the very week after? I mean, that's what, literally only like 4 days after the movie comes out? Or do you think they'll wait a week?
Well,
give people
I don't know.
A chance to see it.
I don't think they're... based on what I have seen from the trailers, about Age of Ultron, I mean, it's going to be different than what they did with Captain America: The Winter Soldier, for sure. If S.H.I.E.L.D. is involved in Age of Ultron, I think it'll be peripherally and, you know, more from the vantage point of Fury is going to be in it, Maria Hill's going to be in it, and then we've got Hawkeye and Black Widow. So... I don't know. I think if they put something in it, I think there would be references tangentially because Baron Strucker, who we may talk about a little bit this week, who was in the tagline at the end of The Winter Soldier, it sounds like he's going to be in Avengers Age of Ultron, and he was name-dropped this week as well. So there's potential for some reference. I don't think it's going to be like a direct... Hey, wow, did you see that big alien or that big robot that, you know, destroyed whatever city it was? You know, I don't think they're going to do something like that.
Well, now, what do you think of the potential of Peggy Carter being in there?
In Age of Ultron?
Yes.
I think it is 100%.
Right, but as far as a tie-in goes, you think that might have something to do with the...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Wow. You know, because I hadn't even really thought about how they were going to do stuff with her. Yeah, that's true. So if Hayley Atwell is going to be in the movie, and the movie poster pretty much confirms that she does have a role, it's not going to be the old Peggy Carter that we saw in Captain America 2. So, yeah, it'll probably be a flashback. I'm hoping it's like a flashback to the 50s or something, you know, that's it's after the miniseries, but, she gets too old.
Something that takes him down the path of whatever happens in the movie. So,
yeah,
something from S.H.I.E.L.D. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do it. Anyway, and since Peggy was in the season opener of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In a flashback, maybe there'll be room for that in later episodes this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well to do another flashback to something else with Hydra in World War II and Peggy Carter.
Wow. So you don't think she's like playing her daughter, like Miss Kensington from Austin Powers, you know? Nothing like that? No, probably nothing like that. I don't think.
No.
She will be.
No, because, we've got that other Agent Carter, or Sharon Carter, Agent 13. Was that her from Captain America? There's that other, the nurse that lived next door to Steve.
Oh, right.
Because she's supposedly related to Peggy in some fashion. Niece or granddaughter or daughter, something. I think it was granddaughter. Anyway, so however this shakes out, I'm sure we will be discussing Age of Ultron further into the season. I'm hoping that we'll have some time to actually do a... if there's enough crossover with S.H.I.E.L.D. that we might do another special... episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, where we feature the film, because that'd be cool. I enjoyed that with Captain
Very
America.
Much. Yeah. It definitely affected what we talked about this season, so.
Yeah, exactly. And then also for fans of behind the scenes tidbits, and I don't know if this really counts as a behind the scenes tidbit, it's more of a marketing contest. ABC.go.com has a new feature that I think it's going to run 5 or 7 episodes called Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Double Agent. And it's basically an agent who was commanded by someone called Mastermind to go in and infiltrate the set of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and find out all of their behind-the-scenes secrets. So... Ming-Na Wen and Jed Whedon had cameos in the current episode. And then when it ends, you can pick where that you think the double agent is going to visit next on the set and enter for a chance to win prizes. And
yeah, it also had some, if you're not interested in that part of it, which is fun. It was kind of a fun little behind the scenes look at it. But
yeah,
but if you're not interested in that part of it, or even if you are, at the end of it, they showed a few images which could potentially have some meaning in the show if you're, looking for clues or things like that. What images that I hadn't seen before.
There was an interesting head of a character, and it was hard to tell if it was blue, like an alien, mm-hmm. perhaps an inhuman, or some other alien that we're going to get introduced to, or if it was just kind of like a wireframe rendering of somebody, and it just appeared to be discolored, because it was kind of a computer. The computer was kind of scanning these images that the guy had. So,
yeah, well, he looked blue to me, so I think.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I could see if I can grab some screenshots of that, see if anybody else might know. Anyway, you can check that out at abc.go.com, and it's called Double Agent. All right, so why don't we get into talking a little bit about Aftershocks? Right up front, it's been it's been 8 weeks, right? About 2 months since we had the season finale, and that's a long time. We've done an entire other series. Granted, it was only 8 episodes, but we did the entire Agent Carter series in between, and I feel that coming back after that long a break into this episode, which picks up pretty much, I would guess within hours after the ending of the previous episode, it changed my feelings about the episode. And I think that a lot of the emotionally charged elements of this particular episode, especially with Mac and Simmons, for me, they felt, I don't want to say forced, they just felt weird, because it's been 2 months since Trip died, for us, and I've kind of gotten over it. I had my initial shock and my grieving and things like that, and then, we come back, and it's still an open wound for all the characters on the show. I was wondering what your thoughts were about that. Did you have any similar sort of feelings or
insights on that? Yeah, I don't know if I was over it, but I'd moved on a little bit. I guess that's the same thing as being over it, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe they should have done the finale kind of backed up to this one, or did they? I don't. I DVR'd it, so I'm not sure. But they kind of made it a little mini movie premiere to kind of refresh everybody's memory or something. But it had been so long. Yeah, I think Trip's death was the biggest thing. I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, wow, that was horrible way back then. Oh wow, yeah, they're still all they're it's a big deal. So
yeah, I mean, so I also found it weird that they ended after 10 episodes. Usually, you'd think you do a break halfway through your season or something like that. I mean, that just seems kind of right to me. And this episode, Aftershocks, was the midpoint of the season. We've done 11 episodes now. There are 11 episodes left. I think this would have been the better episode to end on. Like you said, have them connected, because I think we've lost as a viewer. Now, granted, when this lives forever on video,
yeah,
it won't be as big a deal, but I think we lost a lot of that emotional impact that we had with the characters because of the extended break.
I agree with you, and I agree. I was going to say, do you think it would have been better to have that finale here or have this one, Aftershocks, back in December? And I think you're right. I think that would have been better, because they have a nice little cliffhanger-y kind of thing at the end of it with Bobby and Mac, and you don't know what's going on with them.
It's,
so
it's a different type of cliffhanger, and so they left us with a number of things on episode 10, what they become. Sky and Reyna transformed, but we really didn't know too much about what was going on. But we saw that Sky, you know, physically hadn't changed, and something definitely happened to Reyna. And we had Trip's death, and, you know, those were pretty big stakes. Here, I don't know, we wrap up a lot of the stuff, but like you said, I think there's still a number of mysteries. I mean, I think you've got Simmons' storyline, where she's kind of coming down hard, like you said. You've got Mac and Bobby, and you're not sure what's going on with them. You've got this kind of power vacuum in place because of the Hydra assassinations. So, yeah, I could really say that Aftershocks probably would have been better back in December, and you know, and then they would move on. But that being said, I think this was a fun episode, and it had a lot of strong moments in it, especially the bookended scenes, I'm going to say, which are us being introduced to the Nightcrawler-esque Gordon, who is bamfing around the room with his with no eyes and his newfound teleportation power. I guess that's what you... Was that teleportation? Is that what you saw
That's what I would think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then him showing up at the end of the episode to basically rescue Reyna and take her back to, I'm assuming, you know, wherever the Inhumans hang out with, you know, all their weird friends.
So, okay, all their weird friends. Now, did you find it? Did it surprise you to see what was her name? Jiang. Yeah. At the beginning of that.
Yeah. Now, it said 1983, but I could not remember when she was massacred, because it would have been shortly after Sky was born. So I think that, let's see, that would have put us closer to probably 1990, 91, I think.
For Sky?
For Sky, when Sky was born, because she's in her mid-20s, right?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
So if she's 25, that means she would have been born in 1990. So her mom would have been killed a little bit later.
Yeah, it did surprise me. I mean, just from at first, when I put the timeline kind of in order, that made sense that she was still alive. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they brought her back made me wonder if there's something there, if maybe she's not as dead as we thought. But
there was that initial thought from me. I then got confused by the timeline. I'm like, okay, so, yeah, I thought she was dead more in the, you know, the present day. But then I'm thinking, well, wait, 1983 really isn't that present.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, just the other day was 1983, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, and again, it makes sense. And I don't know, man, you know, when you – it's different when somebody gets shot and then comes back later on, or they apparently drown and come back later on, or get frozen and then come back later on, or you're Nick Fury and you come back later on. But it's a whole different thing when you get chopped up. So I don't know. I don't know how they could bring her back, but it just seemed odd to me that they used her. They wouldn't have had to necessarily use her in that flashback. They could have used a new character, or they could have used, but they have said that she was a part of these, I guess, Inhumans, right?
Yeah. So she was a member of their group, and lived a very long time. And, you know, how long, we don't know. And apparently she hadn't aged between the 1940s and the 1980s. And I thought it was great that they brought her back, because it revitalizes that connection with Sky, now that she has basically gotten her inheritance, you know, of having this transformation, having these powers. But it also lets us know that Jiang was, she would help, like, her role in the group of Inhumans was to assist people that have, teens probably more likely when they went through Terra Genesis, which is the same name as in the comic books of when you get exposed to this mist and your powers manifest, that she would help guide them through the process of understanding who they had become. So she was sort of like a mentor, a sensei, a guidance counselor to help you understand who it was. So obviously she worked with Gordon to have him understand how his powers worked and what to do. And then at the end of the episode, Gordon shows up, you know, totally confident. He's got his powers blasting. He's got some kind of force field effect that he has as well. So he has a force field appear, then he teleports into it. He can teleport people. He's very confident. And he now appears to be sort of, at least I took it as that he is the, doing that leadership role that Jiayang had.
He's doing that, yeah. Okay, yeah, I think they put her in there, and they will have her again probably in some flashbacks or something to like you said, make that connection to Sky, because if Gordon knew her, and clearly they had a close relationship, I mean they established that at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he's probably going to have some connection emotionally with Sky once he finds out who she is, or maybe he already knows who she is. Yeah. So that's probably why they put Jiayang in there to begin with. But
and then Sky can say, I don't really remember my mother. Just kind of a smile. Yeah. And then tell me about my mom. And, Gordon can say, oh, your mom was great. And then as Cal kills him or something like that.
Oh.
You know, I'm just out loud here, but I'll have to make a note that I predicted that.
That is. Yeah, you should write that down.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I had some other thoughts on Jiayang, but let's keep going. And I think she's going to come back. I think that whole situation is we're going to see some flashbacks and kind of see how Gordon got to where he is. Is his name still Gordon? Or does he have a cooler superhero
name? Does he have a code name?
Yeah.
Blind Jumper.
Gordo.
Gecko Gordo. I think that's an interesting idea, and I hadn't really thought about them continuing to use her in flashbacks, but I think the use of flashbacks on a more regular basis, because there's so many different things that have gone on, and they use flashbacks sparingly. I mean, really, the only other one I remember prior to this is the flashbacks with Whitehall, pretty much. I'm sure there's some other flashbacks that we've had. Oh, there was the Grant Ward flashbacks when he was being trained by John, what's his face, Garrett. But
yeah.
Not too many.
Not too many. And now, especially now, that we know that so many things are connected to events in the past.
Not so many things. It's all connected.
It is all connected.
Hashtag.
So I agree with you. I think they need to utilize those flashbacks to further along certain ideas in the story that will continue to kind of keep up the mystery, right? That sort of gives the audience a background that the characters might not have yet, and then we sort of figure it out together, you know?
I do like when the audience has a little bit more information to go by, and that kind of ups the ante for, oh, my gosh, are they going to figure this out? Because, like, right now, we don't know what Mac and Bobby are up to, but we do know they're up to something. None of the other characters really know. So I'm not feeling, I mean, obviously it seems like they're doing something horrible, but it's probably not that bad. But, you know, we don't know. Hunter knows that they're up to something, but, you know, he doesn't really know. If we knew where they were coming from, it might be, I don't know. You could do different dramatic things with the audience knowing stuff that the characters don't know. It's just, that's not the kind of writing that this show seems to do, however.
Yeah.
Because, like, we thought May, we didn't know who May was reporting to for a while. It's like, oh, is she a traitor? You know, so that seems to be the kind of tension they try to build. It's like,
writing can evolve, you know, they can change it.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying that they won't, but Before we get too far away, let me just I want to say a couple other things about the Inhumans on here, because I think this is a huge deal, and the fact that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is embracing these characters who are, I mean, technically they are royalty in the Marvel Universe, but they are just, they're some of these amazing characters that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created through the Fantastic Four, only like 5 years into their run or so on the magazine. And this is at the same time they were creating Galactus, the Silver Surfer, and a whole bunch of other crazy things they were doing. I mean, this was kind of like the best. The Inhumans were created when, like, the two of the best years, I think, in classic Fantastic Four magazine. We're going to get an Inhumans movie coming, but it's not coming for 4 years. 4 years from now, we're going to get a movie about the Inhumans, pretty much after every other Marvel movie that we know about gets made, including the Civil War, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Ant-Man, the Avengers, Infinity War. So the fact that they're setting these characters up in this television series, I think, is really important, because there is probably more to the Inhuman storyline than we know at the moment in terms of, oh, it's just going to be a movie in 4 years. I think that possibly the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to turn out to be Inhumans in some fashion. They're mutants in the comic book, but Marvel doesn't have the rights to do stuff with mutants. They're changing that a little bit, and the tag at the end of Captain America: The Winter Soldier made it seem like they're being experimented on by Hydra, but maybe, you know, somehow they had some mist released on them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. That would work. That would explain, without using mutants, that would explain the storyline. So, gosh, I hadn't thought of that either. See, right. It is all connected.
Yeah, plus it ties in, you know, with the current show. And it may not be something that's explicitly stated, but, you know, we saw Baron Strucker, and we know he's got Loki's scepter. So, you know, is it magic from Loki's scepter, or you know, it wouldn't necessarily be magic. It's just a different power source or whatever it is, Tesseract power or something like that. But he was working with another man who we find out in this episode is Dr. List. He was one of the other people that the Hydra team was talking to. I don't know if you had picked up on that, but I went back and I checked the post-credit sequence on Winter Soldier, and I don't think he was identified by name, but it's definitely the same actor playing Dr. List in this episode, which I thought is kind of a strange name. I thought it was going to be spelled weird, but no, it's just L-I-S-T. It's like his first name's Grocery. his parents were, had a baby when they were hungry, I guess.
well, didn't they kind of got, when Bakshi called one of the other guys on the phone when he was first contacting them, right, when they kind of let him escape?
When he called Fred Dreyer, a.k.a. Hunter, right? The balding guy?
Yeah, I think that's who it was. But didn't he give, like, a code name?
Bakshi did, yeah. Bakshi's code name was Warship, and, oh, shoot, I'll have to look. I have the other guy's code name here somewhere. I'll look it up while you're talking.
I just wondered if that was his real name, but it probably is.
No, his name, because his name was, like, I believe it was Bloom, I think. Let me see. Yes, Octavian Bloom, and his code name was Lighthouse.
Oh, that's right, Lighthouse.
And then there was the Sheik, the Baroness, and the Banker. And then Whitehall was kind of their leader.
All right.
But Bloom was played by Fred Dreyer, who played a character named, detective named Hunter in this 1980s TV series that was on for a couple seasons, which I loved.
I do remember that show.
It's all connected.
maybe that's Lance Hunter's dad. No. Let's not go there.
Oh, wow.
All right. So, now you got me off from these thinking of different tangents now and how things are connected. So let's get back. What were we? How did we start this?
So I was talking about Inhumans, potentially Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, maybe being Inhumans as far as connections go and how important the Inhumans are going to be, I think, in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it appears in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now for a while at least.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on this season with the Inhumans. And, I mean, Sky's got powers. It's going to be part of the show, I think, as long as she's on there. I can't see them moving away from it. Now, of course, Sky is having the aftershocks, both literally and figuratively here. She is getting over the shock of the events that just occurred and Trip's death and everything like that. But she also has these vibrational powers, these quake powers, as the character in the comics that she's named after, Daisy Johnson, have, and her codename being Quake. So, I just think that there's a lot of fertile ground for them to just come up with storylines of her discovering other Inhumans. I mean, the first thing that we've got to do here is she's got to kind of come to grips with her powers. And once everybody else finds out about them, they have to, decide what to do with her. It sounds like Cal is not so crazy. Now, he was telling her, and this was one of the pieces in the opening previously on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., was that, once you get your powers or once you get transformed or whatever it was, people are going to fear you because change is scary. And we definitely see that. I mean, we've got Simmons in this episode. She is coming down hard. It's like we should just wipe all this stuff out. She is very anti mutant,
yeah. Inhuman kind, anti-inhuman. Well, it was like anti-alien stuff. That's what she was kind of focusing on. Anything that had to do with the alien temple, the alien artifacts,
but it was more than that, because she was also mentioning other people that had powers, and she mentioned Donnie Gill with his freezing powers, which just him messing with the freeze ray thing he's got. You got Scorch, who was being experimented on by Hydra and turned into the fire creature. And then Creel, who's the absorbing man. We don't know how he got his powers.
Oh, geez, that's a good point.
So it's like anybody on the the Index. She's basically anti-Index, which is anybody that's got superpowers one way or the other. She doesn't even think the Avengers, are necessarily a good thing, it seems like. And, I mean, most of the Avengers, well, I don't know if you could argue, I guess, with Captain America, but, Thor is an alien and Iron Man's tech created. But you've got the Hulk right there, and he's got, basically half of the Hulk is on the Hulk is on the Index, and Bruce Banner would not be. So where do you fall on that? So
I can see her becoming a bit, obsessed with this idea and becoming a huge problem.
Remember, we were worried she had actually been brainwashed by Hydra, or maybe it was just me, at the beginning of the season here, episode 5, Wolf in the Hen House, or Hen in the Wolf House. So, I mean, there's still possibility for stuff like that to happen. My feeling, and kind of going back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show with the, no time has passed for the characters while it's been 2 months for us. I felt that she was way over the top. Like, that was way, way more, she was just more upset by this than I felt was necessary. But again, Maybe if I go back and watch the previous episode and this one, it'll seem better.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's part of the results of waiting so long in between these two.
Yeah, it seemed like there was more, and then I kind of, again, because I was not remembering how involved she had been with Trip, so not only is she, I think she's masking the pain that she feels from losing Trip, someone that I think she was attracted to, though they weren't making it as overt as I think they might have needed to, because it seems like she's having a bigger reaction to it, and maybe, again, there'll be some more stuff that comes out.
Okay, well, is it just me? But I almost felt like all of them were like that. I loved the character of Trip. I said that from when he first started. But at the end, you know, they were talking about him and how sad they were going to be and how there wasn't going to be as much laughter and things like that. But, man, they didn't really show Trip very much to us. You know, I mean, clearly he was very close to all of them, but we didn't see much of Trip, really.
I mean, he had his good scenes and stuff like that, but yeah, sure. It's not like we got an entire episode about him.
He didn't seem like a main character. I would say they focused way more on Hunter and Bobby even than they did on it at any point in the series.
Yeah, well,
with Trip.
Nick Blood was a regular cast member since the beginning of the season. And Bobby Morse is a character from the comics. So, and now Adrienne Palicki is a regular cast member. I mean, they've moved her name up, you know, to the opening starring credits and not in the also starring or guest starring or whatever, where she had been up till this point. BJ Britt was always a also starring, guest starring kind of character. But I have it on good authority that he will be returning to the show as Trip's cousin, Stumble. So that should be fun. He's a little slower, but probably just equally amusing. So,
well, they'll all be glad to see him.
Yeah. Oh, come on, girl. So yeah. Anyway, I just felt Simmons was a little over the top or off. But again, I think you can attribute that to her. You know, like she got so caught up in her science, she was saying, that she didn't realize what she was getting into. It's like she's had this splash of cold water thrown on her, and all of a sudden is like, wait, oh my gosh, you know, there's reason to understand epidemics. And that's the other thing. She thinks it's possibly a contagion, which again is also a very understandable idea. But I don't know. We know that it's not. Like, we know that this is the right thing to happen, and it's great that Sky has these powers. It's like, okay, this is going to be cool. We're going to get powers on the show and stuff. But, you know, the characters around Sky are still having to understand what's going on, and they are not anywhere near to where the audience is. And maybe that's the disconnect that I was feeling with the episode as well. I don't know.
Could be. Well, she was over the top. What about anybody else? That seemed normal. What about Mac? I was thinking kind of Mac's reaction, but he went through a lot more in the last episode than she did.
Yeah, and he got possessed by the guardian of the city or whatever it was. I don't know. I thought it was in line, I guess, with his character. I wasn't as concerned or
no, that seemed
off.
A little bit more natural.
Yeah, I mean, he was, because I don't know, because he expressed why he was angry. Now, I think there's something else going on. Obviously, we talked about Bobby and Mac having a secret, and we'll get back to that in a minute. But he talks about how he's basically coming up against Coulson, rebelling against his authority. Now, again, Mac is another character that we haven't gotten a lot of. We get him in small doses, and he's kind of always in the background. So, I mean, he's in all the episodes, but he doesn't always have a lot of business, and he's relatively quiet, you know, when he's there. But, you know, he had some good scenes earlier in the season working against Fitz, a.k.a. Turbo. which was cool to get the name drop on that again. But he's really upset with Coulson for basically putting everybody in the situation, and he blames, you know, you got these two wackos, you know, pining over these crazy alien hieroglyphics. It's like, if you guys had just ignored that stuff, you know, we wouldn't be in this place or in this mess. You know, because I think Trip was a friend of his as well. But again, you don't, he didn't get to that point with it, but he was just, I think, more angry that Coulson put them in this position. And like you said, Coulson never asks. Coulson just tells. Well, I mean, he's the freaking director. I mean, it's, bosses don't ask you to do stuff, especially, I don't think, in the, you know, in the spy craft trade here.
But. Sure. And again, in the spy craft trade. But, you know, it's different between asking you to do something when you're the boss and asking you to do something but not telling you why.
Yeah. I mean, right. And it's that whole secrets element that we get into this, and compartmentalization, and the things that Coulson was not crazy about under Fury's regime that he is obviously resorting to in the same fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, a bit, I would say. I wasn't all that shocked by Tripp's response. I wasn't all that shocked by Coulson's response. Although, what's that?
Mac's response.
Mac's. I said Tripp, didn't I? Tripp. I wasn't surprised by Tripp's response either. It was quiet.
Yeah.
But by Coulson's response, although I miss the funny Coulson. I would like to get to the calm, cool, you know, clever.
You didn't like, he'll never take us alive.
No, that was pretty funny, actually. No, that interaction between him and May, I thought was good. That's the kind of Coulson I like to see. I don't like to see the shouting in people's faces Coulson. That's And again, you know, it's warranted for the story. I don't mind it, but that's one of the things that was always appealing about Coulson, is in any situation that was dramatic or extreme, he was always kind of calm. I mean, look what happened when he got killed by Loki.
That's how works.
Oh, that's what that does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Sign like. So I wasn't surprised by that, but there was one person that I was very surprised by the reaction was Fitz. Everything seemed typical until the very end, when he not only did he help Sky in the situation where, you know, she was about to be exposed with her new powers, but he lied to Simmons.
Yeah. And that's a big change.
Shocking. Yeah.
Why do you think? So, what do you think why was he lying? What?
I kind of thought I had different feelings and thoughts about why he might be doing that. One is because of his situation this season with him, you know, being injured and having these brain problems. Maybe he's seeing how people are treated when they're different. You know, he's kind of experienced that himself from a, you know,
that
much
was, yeah, that was
different,
my thought.
Different reason.
Right.
That's, but also, I don't know, maybe he's also, I guess this is kind of the same thing, but seeing how, the way Simmons was reacting and her feelings toward this now, and he disagrees, you know, scientifically he sees how this has got potential. That kind of how it used to be, how they were all last season, the two of them. Anything that was new or different or technological, or it was exciting to them, you know, it was like a new discovery. But Simmons has kind of gone completely opposite from that.
Right. Well, she's, with all the stuff she's been through, culminating with Tripp's death, I mean, going back to almost losing Fitz at the end of last season, and having to infiltrate Hydra and seeing what they're up to. Again, we weren't exposed to a lot of that, but we got some of that. I think it's really opened her eyes, and it's wiped away a lot of the naivete, I think, that she had. I think Fitz has lost some of his naivete as well, but like you said, he understands what it means to be different now. And also, I think it comes down to this is still Sky. I mean, yeah, so she's got some extra macromolecules on her DNA and that, yeah, you know, whatever. She potentially could be dangerous, right? She could explode in a nuclear fire, you know, or whatever. You know, he's not really sure, I guess, what is involved with that. But, I mean, this is their friend. This is the woman that they've been working with now for, you know, a couple years here. And you're right. I think if Simmons wasn't as vehement about kind of eradicating this, quote, disease or, you know, whatever she foresees it as, then he may not have gone to those measures. But I think it's really sweet that here's Fitz and, you know, he's still not quite there. He can't get all the words out and still has problems concentrating and working through the problems. And, you know, he's coming to Sky's rescue, which it's just...
Yeah. That was the most unexpected character reaction from this week.
That was, yeah, I agree. That was good. I like that. Okay, so we've talked about this a little bit. Bobby and Mac obviously have something going on, and we've known that they had something going on, and it also had involved Xena, whatever her character's name was.
Way Lucy back Lawless?
Lucy Lawless's character way back from episode one. There had been mention made of that, I think, at that point as well. So it appears that they're trying to grab Fury's toolbox, which is the little cube he provided to Coulson to help rebuild S.H.I.E.L.D. It's basically got all the details about everything ever that is S.H.I.E.L.D. related, I guess. It's like a little box that has, you know, all sorts of computer files and stuff like that in it. Plus, Mac also wanted to get the blueprints to the base that they're in. Maybe so they can figure out a way to exit without people seeing them. What do you think? Hydra agents working for somebody else? Working for Fury? What do you think's going on?
I want to believe it's Fury. That was my first thought. Because, I mean, I guess I just don't want to believe they're working for Hydra. I don't know why Fury would want them looking for his toolbox. It seems like if he wanted something like that, he could just come to Coulson.
Right. I had thought Fury as well, but it just doesn't jibe for those reasons. And also, you know, Fury had May's ear. So why would he need to have, again, who knows why Fury does what Fury does.
Right.
But why would he need to have other operatives working against May unless, I don't know. I don't think it's Hydra.
You don't think it's Hydra, though?
If they had put this scene 4 or 5 episodes ago, 3 to 4 episodes ago, maybe I would have thought Hydra more so. Just because we were still questioning Mockingbird at that point, right? We weren't sure where she was. But I don't know. They haven't teased any of that kind of stuff about anybody's allegiance for a while. Well, at least 2 months, right? So I don't remember if they were doing anything in the last couple episodes. But, you know, and also you've got it apparently, and I don't think this is accurate, but it appears that, well, look, Hydra's all been wiped out except for Bakshi. But I don't think that's the case, really. I think it's just I think it's this branch. It's like the West Coast branch of Hydra was wiped out. Obviously, Baron Strucker is still over in Europe working, as they mention. And I'm sure there's still a few other cells, heads, whatever, around. But, yeah, I don't know what their... I mean, I don't know what their end game could possibly be. Unless they're working with the Inhumans. No, I don't know.
Yeah, but we don't know who Gordon was with or if he's with anybody or is he... I mean, I think he's got to be with a group of some kind, and I don't think it's Hydra.
Right. I think, well, I think the Inhuman, I think Gordon is working with a group of Inhumans. I mean, I think there's
right.
a there's a faction of these people, right, because they've got, he had his own diviner or obelisk in his study or wherever it was when he picked up the telephone at the end of the mid-season finale. So I think there's a faction of Inhumans. I think we've got a small group of Hydra left. I think we've got our small group of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. And then there's going to be Cal, and it sounds like he's ready to start warming up the bullpen and draw in some of his, what do you call, I think he was just saying some friends from the Index. So sounds like he's going to be getting some super villains together to do some damage.
Hey, what do you think about Bobby and Mac working for Cal?
Well,
I'm not sure.
Except
how
for the fact that she's Mockingbird,
but...
and I can't picture them actually turning her into a traitor.
Yeah, I can't. I can't either.
Especially
since she's a regular on the show now, Grant Ward. But
yeah. Oh right, and he's still out there with Agent 33.
Yeah, yeah. He was conspicuously absent from this week's episode, but there was more than enough to fit in it. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on there. Well. I think this episode has done a good job to set up for the kind of the completion of the season. Based on what we've seen here between S.H.I.E.L.D., who, by the way, thought the Coulson and his team thought that they lost the battle in the alien city. Hydra thought they lost the battle in the alien city, which I think is kind of funny. Both sides pretty much thought that... the other side got the upper hand, which is kind of an interesting... I haven't figured out all the ramifications for that, but I'm sure they will become apparent in the next couple episodes. But between that dichotomy here, between the S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra and the Inhumans, what do you think we're going to see later in the season here? In the, like, you know, in the big picture, like next 10 episodes? Any thoughts?
What are they going to be dealing with?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think whoever Gordon is with, that group, all right, I think they're going to be seeking out Skye. I think they're going to...
So they've got Reyna.
Yes.
Okay. And then they're going to be seeking out Skye.
Right.
Okay.
With Simmons, I think they're going to have some big-time disagreements, some heated... interactions, I guess, between Simmons and, you know, anybody that doesn't feel like Simmons. So I think it might be split. The group might be split. In addition, I think we're going to find out who or what Bobby and Mac are working for.
Yeah.
So where does Coulson fit into all this? Because I don't have a good gauge of where I think Coulson's going to go.
He was really hot to strike back against Hydra, and then, boom, he strikes back against Hydra and apparently took care of that.
Yeah, that was easy. That was a good plan. It worked. Except for his line, you know. He'll never take me alive. Other than that, everything was perfectly laid out.
maybe too perfect.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. It's true. It's like we wrapped up Coulson's... Coulson had a... had a, you know, kind of a wish list for this episode, and he fulfilled everything on his list at this point. So, interesting. I'm not sure. Yeah, I can see things getting bigger here, like I said, with the Inhumans and stuff. But other than that, I'm really not sure where a lot of stuff is going.
Yeah, well, you want bigger. We also have General Talbot still out there, who, you know, he worked together with in this episode, but they're still not buddies. And you got Ward out there still. So... that, man, is it too big? Well, I think they have a plan. I think all of these things are going to kind of come to a head, and it may have something to do with the Avengers, or at least it'll be affected by the movie The Avengers. So
yeah, well, we've got a returning guest star next week. It looks like Jamie Alexander is going to be back playing Asgardian Sif in an episode that is basically. 1 year to the last time she appeared. It's off by one day, actually. So 364 days since that last episode aired. But she will be returning, and it looks like there's some interesting stuff going on. Jeff Loeb and Jed Whedon have been teasing some things about the next week's episode, but they still haven't really told us who the bad guy is. So looks like it'll be an interesting episode. So,
oh, geez, I forgot Cal's still out there, too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, Cal and his buddies, whoever that turns out to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, we had a few references listed here in the episode that I wanted to cover. I think I mentioned a couple of these already. One really funny one was when Hunter, when he was masquerading as the American, says, "Do all Radio Shack's secret Hydra drop points or something like that?" Which obviously now we know why Radio Shack went out of business. I think that was a brilliant piece of scripting.
It's all Captain America's fault, was it?
Yeah, yeah. If Captain America hadn't helped take down Hydra, then Radio Shack would still be in business today. And having these Hydra leaders with these cool nicknames and code names and stuff all around the table, it looks like it's straight out of the Secret Warriors comic book issue number 2. There was a similar scene with... Of course, it's all the Hydra big-time villains that, you know, wear costumes and look funny and stuff like that. Very, very similar there. They had I like that table they got. I would not mind having a nice big round table with a Hydra logo emblazoned upon it.
I knew it.
That'd be kind of cool. Hey, I'm just saying it would be kind of cool.
Oh, okay. All
yeah,
right.
Not that.
Hey, I want to encourage everybody, if you are into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I would assume you are if you're listening to us, but if you're into, you've got to pick up Secret Warriors. That you've got to read that series. That was
It's about 30 issues, and I think it's a loose map for where they're going with some of Sky's storyline and maybe some of the Hydra storyline too. So definitely pick those trade paperbacks up or the single issues if you get a chance. Or I guess you could pick them up on Comixology or Marvel's app and read them there as well. Let's see, I mentioned Dr. List, seeing him in The Winter Soldier, so that was a nice little connection. And then all sorts of name dropping here. We had the Inhumans, we had the Avengers, we had Terra Genesis, all things taken directly out of the comic books, so making me as a comic geek a lot happier there with those sort of... things. The fact that they actually said Inhuman and, you know, they are kind of embracing it. It doesn't seem like they're shying away from stuff like they were kind of doing in the first season where they didn't really want to say certain things or whatever, you know.
Or this even use powers or, you know, unknown stuff. They stayed very realistic in the first season.
And I think there is still a very realistic bent to it. But you've got, you know, character that looks like a giant porcupine now and character that can give aftershocks and so
teleport and
teleport, right, with no eyes. And yeah, they're really starting to push stuff. I would like them to move a little faster, but again, I have a different take on the speed they should be doing stuff. And I think they are trying to leave the super exciting stuff for, like, the Avengers Age of Ultron trailer, which, you know, I watch that, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then I watch, you know, this episode again, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is cool. This is great. Let's keep moving stuff along. I'm wondering if it would be better if we created a sizzle reel, like, of all the best shots, because I was thinking the opening of this episode was really exciting. With the guy teleporting around. But then we got into, you know, talking about feelings and stuff like that. And it's like, it kind of lost me a little bit. And then we had the guy teleport in at the end. And I was like, okay, this is really exciting. And not that I don't want the dramatic discussion elements. I just want those to happen while the guy is teleporting. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
He teleports kind of fast. How are they going to talk? Come on.
Pixel. Pixel.
Just all right. Well, now that we're back and it's got they've developed all these character storylines here in this first episode. Now we can start getting to that stuff, right? So we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. They've reintroduced stuff and we're moving along. And so next week, I mean, again, looking at the sizzle reel for next week, the trailer looks like, wow, there's some really exciting stuff going to happen. And I'm sure there'll be some talking in between and I'll twiddle my thumbs. I'm sorry. I don't know. I was excited for the series to come back, and I think this episode was very good. And I'm just, I guess my problem is I'm just having trouble trying to articulate what I was expecting and why this didn't live up to it completely. Even though when I talk to people, I'm like, this was a really fun episode. But there's still something going on, and I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's been 2 months. I'm over the events from the mid-season finale. Why can't the characters be over it as well? So it's that break fatigue, I guess. When we talk about Arrow on our Green Justice podcast, you know, when they're off for 2 months, it's been 2 months for the characters. So they move on to their next thing, whereas this was, you know, we were picking up pretty much right after it. So That's my thought. So
I agree with you. Good comments, good thoughts from you tonight about what this was lacking. But it was exciting now, and now we don't have to wait.
Yep. And if anybody out there, if anybody listening has any ideas as to, like, did this work for you? Did this not work for you? What were you looking for? Did it meet your expectations or exceed your expectations? Write in and let us know, because I'd love to hear some other people's thoughts about this. Not too many of my friends in real life, like that I see face to face, watch S.H.I.E.L.D. because they dropped it back in the first season. I'm limited to talking to Josh here and some people online, so I'd like to get some other perspectives on it if anybody out there would care to write into us. And Josh will tell you how to do that in just a minute.
Yeah, but he gets bored with what I have to say, so, you know, that's...
Well, I know what you're going to say. No, I don't know what you're going to say.
No,
but
I know.
But anyway, that's what we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, so thanks again for listening.
And we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave some feedback for us on iTunes. We would love to hear from you there. And also, we would love to hear from you at email. You can contact us. shield@randomchatter.com is our email address. So write in and tell us why Jay is wrong. No, or me. I'm always wrong. Everybody knows that. So, or you can get on Twitter @AgentsPodcast, or you can visit our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AgentsPodcast.
I don't like to think that I'm wrong. I just like to think that other people have other opinions, which is true.
Okay.
We live in a multiverse. Everybody experiences things a little bit different. Anyway. You can, speaking of a multiverse, you can also check out the other podcast that Josh and I host, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. We'll be back in a couple weeks on those shows. They're also available here at randomchatter.com. All shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. So, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.